Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And I want you to think about an object in your home that holds special meaning. Maybe it's your grandma's handwritten recipe, or maybe it's a videotape of your children. I bet you want to keep those items for as long as possible and pass down these memories to other members of your family. We're talking about how to take care of family heirlooms, maybe old quilts, maybe photographs, maybe letters, and a whole lot more. And here to help us by phone, Kat Latham. Kat is Director of Collections, Information, and Management for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And as we talk with Kat, I hope you'll join in. Tell us how you take care of your family heirlooms. Where's the best place to store an old wedding dress or maybe a quilt? Walk us through your process for maybe digitizing old photos and videos. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Kat Latham, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us what you do. I'll begin by saying the Wisconsin Historical Society has so many cool things going on. And here you are, Director of Collections, Information, and Management at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Tell us what you do as director.
Lots of things. I currently oversee the team that does our what we call descriptive work for collections. So the catalog records for books and archival collections, the metadata, the online descriptions you see of our images, our photos. And my past role included overseeing the conservation lab and our preservation here at the Historical Society. So I've worked with many different aspects of collections. And like you said, we've got so many cool things going on. So we're working on how we connect our website with our new history center and how we're doing new descriptive work online. It's so exciting right now to be a part of the Historical Society.
It's got to be. What did you study in order to have this profession?
I actually have a bachelor's degree in public history and archaeology, and a master's degree in public history. So I've spent pretty much most of my time knowing that I wanted to work in a museum. I literally told my family that even if I had to be the security guard or the janitor, this is what I was going to do.
Well, you know, I've got a few things. I've got a sugar cup that my mother got from her grandmother, and I put it away. I've got it up out. I don't use it, and I've often thought about, shouldn't I just be using this? And if you've got some old stuff at home, photos, letters, baby blankets, should you be afraid to use them in fear of breaking them?
So the thing about family heirlooms is that the value of them really has a lot to do with the connection you have to them. And I always, even in a museum or a history center, I always say that preserving them should really be balanced with use and enjoyment. So there are certain things you don't want to use to completely use up, but things like your sugar dish, it's pretty stable. I have mine that my mom got me when I graduated high school and I was headed off to college. She bought me a little teacup ceramic set, and at first I was like, oh, I should keep this forever, but I use it and I like to use it. I would definitely recommend that you think about balancing out how you enjoy things. So bring out those scrapbooks. Occasionally, read those old letters and use your sugar dish. I think that's that's how you build connection and ongoing connection with those things.
I know you've got some basic steps to kind of help people make their treasures last. I imagine one would be sunlight and avoiding it, direct or bright light at least.
Yeah, there's some basic like rules of thumb to keeping things like for a long period of time. And, you know, that, like I said, balancing that use and enjoyment, but also like, you know, when you're not using your sugar dish, make sure that it's kind of away from direct sunlight. Sunlight, I mean, we need it to survive, but it is going to fade any decorations. It fades paint, it fades ink, so avoid that. You want to try to keep your temperatures as consistent as possible. Big swings in humidity or big swings in temperature, they tend to really affect, like, particularly clothing and photographs, paper. You want to try to keep things clean. So like the outside of your sugar dish, make sure you're like keeping it from getting dusty. And partially because like it'll over time, it's going to really stick and be much harder to clean off. So if you want to make sure you keep that clean every time you run out of sugar, let it run all completely out. Run it under some warm water and keep it clean so that it doesn't get all sticky. And you don't want it sticky, not only because the longer it's sticky, the harder it is to clean, but you want to protect it from insects and keep pests away. So those things can really damage more like easily damage, like you don't want moths in your clothes. So make sure you avoid some pests. Like sunlight, prolonged exposure to moisture is, and even temporary for some things, moisture is just, it's a killer.
Yeah, I'm, this whole business about storing, though, you know, I have, because we're selling some family product, a family home that was been in the family for, I don't know, forever. Basically, there are large tubs. There are five large tubs that are filled with photos.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sitting here. Where am I going to put these? And store them. I have a plan. I have a plan because there's going to be some family get together, and they're going to be pulled out, and people are going to be able to go through them and pick the ones they would like and want to keep, and we're going to kind of do it that way. But storing something like that or anything.
Yeah, honestly, the thing that you said about going through them and sort of having family pick them, I love that so much because it allows, again, that connection that you have with your heirlooms, and I think that's really important. But storage is like, especially if you've got tubs and tubs, I always say to try to avoid plastic tubs or like things that are completely airtight for storage because air circulation really is, it's really important for things like paper and photographs. Also those kind of plastic tubs, like the emulsion layer, if it gets moisture at all, can like stick, your photographs can stick together inside there or stick to the tubs. So I try to recommend for photographs, things like very inexpensive options, you've got like a shoebox, a literal shoebox, paper, like a paper box is always going to be better than plastic. You want to look for something that's as pH neutral as possible. So you could get some archival made boxes, some good places you can order like online from companies like Gaylord Brothers or Hollinger Metal Edge. But also, those are really expensive, which is why I also say, hey, your shoebox is actually like a paper box in your closet is actually better than a plastic box.
Wow. Kat Latham, our guest today, Director of Collections, Information, and Management for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And we're talking about how to care for and preserve family keepsakes. Questions for her, or maybe an experience to share of your own. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. And a quick mention that noon today, we'll talk about the history of Door County cherries, and we'll get some suggestions for what you'd like to hear on the show as well at about 12:30. So lots going on, but right now we're zeroing in on taking care of those family heirlooms, and it's kind of fun talking about them. Clothes. What about clothing? Old clothes. You put them in the washing machine?
I don't.
Well, should I be doing it?
the longer you you want to keep things nice, the less you want to expose them to the kind of like twists and pulls of a washing machine. So hand washing, if it depending on the fabric, is going to be better than your washing machine. Try not to twist it. Try not to wring it. Try not to stretch it. I think earlier I had said, you know, like keep your items clean, but always make sure you're cleaning them as gently as possible. You always want to make sure that you're not using like really tough cleansers, whether that's in your clothes or any other thing. But I generally recommend that if you can dry clean something, that you dry clean it. I tend to recommend if you want to store something very long term, like a wedding dress. Earlier, one of my friends actually asked me like how to preserve her wedding dress. You want to try if you possible, again, thinking about what's possible versus what's best, laying it flat in a big acid-free box is usually going to be the best way to keep it from really getting some wear and tear and having stretching going on. But you can hang it in a clothes bag, a fabric clothes bag, preferably in the back of your closet. You want to do this in a closet in a human occupied area of your house. So don't put it in your attic. Don't put it in your basement, because those places have big swings in temperature and big swings in humidity. So you want to keep that plate in some place that is like not experiencing big swings in humidity and in temperature. So the back of your closet you use every day, because you tend to keep the spaces you use every day pretty steady.
That makes a lot of sense. Although as you were talking, I was thinking about finding a hole in a sweater that I think was eaten up by a cricket or something. This is years ago. I don't have any crickets in my house right now, I don't think, at least. But the insects and the pests can be a problem, maybe if they're in the back of a wardrobe.
Yeah. I mean, so you really do, pests are a really big problem. I would bet that in pretty much every person's house, they have carpet beetles. Carpet beetles are going to eat your clothes too. They don't just eat carpet. So those kinds of things can be a problem. I personally, I hate the smell of mothballs, but they do serve a purpose. I prefer to go with, like, there are cedar block things that are pest, they keep pests away. Cedar, if you've got a cedar chest in your house, it is a great place to store things, because cedar tends to keep pests away. It's not perfect. It's not going to be the like one thing, it certainly isn't going to kill all the pests. It tends to just keep them away. Pests tend to not really like cedar. So if you got a cedar chest and you want to put some stuff in it that you want to preserve for a long time, that's at home, that's a pretty decent way of doing that. I do always caution against too many folds. The more you fold something, that creates a lot of pressure on the fibers in clothing or even quilts. Those kinds of folds can be long-term. They can also create a lot of tension in clothing. They also, if you fold something, a pest is going to go in that fold. He's going to find a haven there.
Oh, my goodness. Jerry in La Crosse has a question. Let's go there. Jerry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a large quantity, say 70,000 pictures on my computer that are from all over the world, and I'd like to keep them. How would I do that? Well, one thing is, how do I organize them and how do I keep them? You know, you might have some from England and some from Laos and some from Africa, and you want them all kind of categorized.
Oh, yeah, those are good questions. I've been talking about preserving physical stuff, but preserving digital photos. I tend to recommend having more than one copy of photographs. So digital photographs, digital files, and hard drive, an external hard drive from your computer can be really useful, as can a cloud storage option. We here at the Historical Society actually tend to utilize both. Some stuff is in some cloud storage. Some of it actually is still on external hard drives. So making sure that you've got a backup in your cloud storage that's like your master copy. So you just leave it in there. The other thing, as far as organizing, there isn't like a generally quick and easy way to just organize all of your off photos. It is time consuming and it takes a lot of human work. I generally recommend that you do it as you go. So when you come back from whatever trip, you create a folder in the cloud that says London. You put all those photographs in there. You dedicate some time shortly after that to create a spreadsheet that gives each one of the file names and its caption as to what it is going to be the best way to do it personally. Unless you want to invest in like a digital asset management system, which are really expensive. Most individual people aren't doing that. But if you're just looking for yourself a spreadsheet that gives, you know, the file name and give it a caption and put it in that folder is going to be your best bet for organizing.
Yeah. I was thinking about a friend of mine. Four of us played golf in Scotland last year, and we all took our digital photos. And then one of the guys said, "Well, send me your photos." And everybody sort of sent him the photos, their photos. And then he took the photos, and so he had them digitally. But then he also printed off many of the photos and made a scrapbook, and then put some other things, you know, things that material things that we may have, napkins or whatever that we may have had, and put together the greatest scrapbook. And it's so much fun to actually look at the photos themselves.
Yeah, I love it. So I have a love-hate relationship with scrapbooks. I love that they're so personal and you can do so many things with them. But a lot of the things that are made, like the way you make a scrapbook, you know, with it includes adhesives and it includes sticky stuff and so many different types, you know, a napkin next to a photograph. Wow, it's a lot. So I tend to recommend that when upfront, when you make a scrapbook like that, that you are getting some acid-free paper. You could usually get it at actually Staples or an office supply store, and you just kind of interleave between the pages that acid-free paper. It keeps things from any of the adhesives from like touching the other side of the page. If you've got inks in there, keeps inks from, you know, bleeding onto other pages. And it just really helps to keep things like in place for a longer period of time. And also to try to buy a box to put it in, where it sits fairly snugly. You don't want things like a scrapbook to be like jostling around inside your box, because that just damages like the binding and it damages the corners. And the longer you can keep that scrapbook together in one piece, the longer each thing inside of it's going to last.
Well, you know, talking about photos, but it also reminds me about VHS tapes, for example, or CDs. talk us through how to make the decision to digitize something like that.
So a lot of your, actually, a lot of the decisions that you make regarding how you're going to keep things and how long you're going to keep them really have to do with what it is that's important about the thing for you. Significantly, for example, when I was growing up, we collected as many of the first edition Disney VHS cassette tapes we could. And they have a value to me because my mom and I used to really hunt for these things. I'm going to keep those VHS tapes in their box and as they are, because they're a three-dimensional artifact that has meaning as an artifact. But if you have home videos, things that you've like recorded from your family over the years, I actually always recommend people get those digitized rather than trying to keep the original medium 100% always workable and watchable. So if you think of your original medium, again, I said, is like that master copy, and your digitization or your digitized version as the thing you can like watch and boot up every year on your TV for your family to enjoy. So if you're looking at what's important to me is the content and being able to enjoy what's on the VHS, digitize that, because you don't want to watch your VHS over and over again. audio cassette tapes as well. Like if you've got some cassette tapes, they're pretty stable. They'll stay pretty stable for a long time. But the second you put them in that cassette player, you risk that like your tape's going to get fed up in there. And if you're a child of the 80s or 90s, you remember getting out your pencil and having to fix your cassette tape. Don't use it unless you are willing to risk that it will not make it through the use.
Or if the tape breaks.
Exactly. Then you're out. It's really hard. It's a lot more expensive to get a tape digitized once it breaks.
And I do like your idea. I also had a friend who we have get together every year and did it for like 20 years in a row. And he took a piece, and he always had some film of it, and he pieced together like the 20 years. And it was fun to see people's weight go up and down, their hairlines recede, their clothing changes. And really a lot of fun to sit down and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to be able to watch that for a really long time. Like that's the best part. That's why we keep our family treasures, right? So we can just have those enjoyment.
Yeah, I think it's I think you gain a lot from experiencing history not only in video, but in a, sort of a tactile material way, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. There is nothing like being so close that you can touch the history, or you can even be a part of whatever it is and interact with it in very cool ways. So I'm going to give one little plug for upcoming History Center, which we're opening in a couple of years. Right now, our Wienermobile, from the 60s, is going to be in the History Center, and you can climb in it, and you can sit behind the wheel, and you can take your picture of you driving the Wienermobile.
You know,
and that is just so great.
Several of my former students actually wound up as drivers for the Wienermobile. I can't wait to try that out. Kat, thanks. Hey, it's been a lot of fun, and I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun.
Kat Latham is Director of Collections, Information, and Management for the Wisconsin Historical Society. Coming up, we're going to talk about Door County cherries. That next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.